I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Good morning. Good afternoon, actually.
Yes,
it's afternoon.
I can't believe it.
So, we're so excited you're joining us today. I'm Mary DiCarlo.
And I'm Marta Kyle.
And we are so blessed to be here with you for 1 hour.
Although it will be hard to replace Kathleen because she is irreplaceable.
And Father Dermot.
And
the
Father
dynamic duo.
Yes, we cannot forget Father Dermot. So we are the little ones to replace him, but we will do our very best to fill the mighty seats.
Yes.
So why don't we start with a prayer?
Okay.
Sound like a good idea?
Yes.
All right. So it was very interesting because we started with the voice coming ahead asking for the Holy Spirit to help us. And so our prayer today is for the help of the Holy Spirit. It's the St. Anthony prayer for the help of the Holy Spirit. And so let's say this together in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
O God, send forth your Holy Spirit upon me. Guide all my thoughts and actions so that my whole life will be pleasing to you. Be with me in times of trial. Stay with me. Stay close to me when I am weak in body and soul. Give me the strength, courage, and grace to do your holy will in all things. Never let me be separated from you in thought, word, or deed. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that's a beautiful prayer. And I feel like it speaks to what we're going to talk about today, too.
It does.
You know, like staying with me in times of trial. Never let me be separated from you. Really kind of always realizing that we have to maintain our faith and trust in God, even in the good times and the bad.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
Yeah. And I feel like it connects really well with the Sunday sermon as well. Don't
yep.
you think?
Yep.
So
and that's what we're going to do. We're going to break open the gospel. That's what Kathleen does on Thursday. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to
yeah.
roll with that.
It's a great idea.
Yes. So today, Sunday's gospel is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go.
So that's an amazing gospel. And every time I personally read it, I always think about ego. I think about pride. And I also think about servant leadership. Because so many people want recognition and want to be praised and almost glorified for the work they do. And Jesus is turning around and saying, no, 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 no. Do the good job, but manage it with humility. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I love that. I like how Christ takes, he never condemns, but he convicts. And I love that. Kathleen was very efficient in teaching us that. Jesus never condemns, but he convicts. And that was always very comforting for me to think about that, because we all fall. We all make mistakes. We all might be James and John at some point when we think we want to be a leader. We want recognition. We want something. And the Lord has to redirect us. And that can be in the day-to-day or in the big things of our lives. So he redirects them, and he gives them almost like a third party example. So he's mm-hmm. not condemning them. He's convicting, and he's saying, you know, those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles, lord it over them. He's showing them this is not the way we're going to proceed with this, folks. We're going to friends.
Yeah.
He calls them friends.
And I feel like it goes back to the thinking also. Because, I mean, obviously, they were human. And, you know, the life of James and John were fishermen. And so they worked hard. And it was shown in the fish that they produced, obviously, and sold at market every day. And so in their own right, they were probably very proud of what they did and how they did it. So now when they left all that to go to Jesus, and Jesus is the Messiah, they're probably thinking, well, if we go out and do all this great stuff, we're going to, you know,
they'll be successful.
Yeah.
Because they were successful.
Right. So they're positioning themselves in that same level of thinking as they were, you know, on a more human level. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is taking them to a different level of thinking, which is servant leadership.
Exactly. It shall not be so among you. Whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first will be the slave of all. So that had to be a real adjustment for them. They were probably a little bit shocked at that correction and that mm-hmm. redirection.
And I like the word slave, because it really just says, who's your master, right? Because mm-hmm. whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all, right? Because when you think about that, you're really trying to be all things to every, you're being a slave to everybody. Is that making sense?
Yeah, and you're reducing yourself
right.
to nothingness, so to speak. You know, you're the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and has to be ground up and dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to really...
And you're probably trying to please too many people, right? And you lose yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And you compromise maybe against your principles and beliefs that you normally would not have compromised, but you're trying to maintain that level of greatness in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you feel like you're subject to doing things that are against what is right and good and holy.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's a big, that's a nail biter too. Because that was, you know, they weren't catching on to that fact just yet.
Right.
And that they were going to have to walk that walk. They will be baptized with the cup with which he was baptized. So mm-hmm. that's something that you would have to really get your arms around, really come to grips with. That would take a lot of soul searching to get yourselves from the first train of thought, which was we want to be the greatest in the kingdom, to no, you're going to be the servant, you're going to be the slave, and you're going to give your life as a ransom, self-sacrifice, self-love, mm-hmm. that sacrificial love. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. a huge paradigm shift there.
That is a huge paradigm shift.
Yeah.
And so is the fact that you said you're going from having this, you're going to a level of humility.
Mm-hmm.
you know, instead of tooting your horn and being out there,
exactly.
You gotta like you take it down realize. A few notches, right? And go on the low, the down low,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's like the definition of humility when you think about servant leadership, which is that you don't think less of yourself, you think less about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that always resonated with me because sometimes when we think about humility, I feel like I should be wearing the sackcloth and, you know, looking awful and all those things that you think go with humility.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is we were all put here for a purpose and a mission.
To serve.
To mm-hmm. serve. And that we should do it, you know, proudly, but do it without compromising our principles and just doing our job. And I feel like people pick up on that.
Yeah. The sincerity. They appreciate when you're sincere and you're not pompous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So
this week's saints were a nice example of that, too. We had a lot of saints this week. Actually, in the month of October in general, there's a lot of saints' lives that you look at. And are great witnesses for us to look at and to study and to contemplate. St. Ignatius of Antioch was today's saint, right?
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I don't know if many of you were familiar with St. Ignatius. I was really more St. Ignatius of Loyola than St. Ignatius of Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
But when we started reading about him, they said that he was almost second in line for Peter. Is that what we were?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Second in line to the throne of Peter. And that he was the second successor of Peter. He wrote 7 letters to local communities on church unity and structure, especially the Mono Episcopacy. I should never read a word I can't pronounce. And he was the first to use the term Catholic Church as a collective designation for Christians. He's mentioned in the Roman canon. But the point being, he was a very, very holy saint. And so he was actually martyred in Rome, and that he was thrown to the lions and was eaten. Mm-hmm. And in one of his writings, he writes, "I am God's wheat and shall be grounded by the teeth of wild animals." And when it goes back to, so before I read this, you think about humility, you think about service to God, right? And you think about how we have to have a mission, right? As no matter what we do, we're all called to some mission, no matter what that mission is, whether it's, you know, serving our Lord as a priest or religious,
mm-hmm.
or being a mother or a father,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's, you know, running an organization, like in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have our mission. And when we really sit down and think about that mission, we think about how do we execute that mission. And the only reason I'm saying that is because Jesus knew his mission. He came, you know, that people may have life and live it to the full.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything, every action he took went towards that mission. And the other example that you and I were talking about for mission was even as a mother or a parent, mm-hmm. doesn't have to be a mother, who prepares a meal every night for their family. And they do it maybe not because they enjoy cooking in the kitchen, but because they see their mission as bringing the family together to have discussions and to have conversations about maybe the happenings of the day or
mm-hmm. what's going on in their children's hearts, what's going on in your spouse's heart, what's going on in the community around you, how was your day at school. The dinner table serves as a great place for coming together and, you know, understanding.
Right.
Understanding like what's going on in each other's hearts and lives and
right.
and their own personal missions. It could be as a student. It could be as an athlete. Sometimes people have that mission. And you can understand, and you can also help guide and direct, like Jesus was guiding and directing the disciples here. You can use your mission to guide and direct yourself, your spouse, your children, right?
Yeah.
And keep everything Christ-centered, Christ-centric.
Right.
That's a That's another Kathleen lesson that we learned. Keep your eyes on Christ. So when the whole world seems to be falling apart around you, or maybe you burned the pot roast, or you forgot about... I know for me, one time, for some reason, whenever I cook French fries, I forget about them. And I pull them out of the oven, and they are burnt to a crisp. I'm like, what's burning? And I'm like, oh, it's the French fries in the oven. I forgot about the fries.
Back to the meatballs and spaghetti.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how I just got off on the French fry tangent, but anyway.
Well, because the thinking, again, goes back to serving the meal. But the meal is just the means to the end. And the means to the end is having that dining room table family moment.
Exactly.
To really do some of the things that you were discussing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's the mission.
Yeah.
And we all have certain missions. And Jesus obviously had his mission. We all have our missions. And when we think about that, it's easier to remain humble because we're always looking at the bigger picture. We're not looking at, I'm such a great cook.
Right.
Look at me
serving my family.
I do it every night. Blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. Right?
Mother of the year.
Yeah, here I am.
Burning the French fries.
Is my halo blinding you?
And then when things do fall apart or you feel like you've had the worst day ever, it really does help to keep your eyes centered on Christ.
Right.
It really helps. That was really profound for me.
The burnt French fries. They're like, ew, these French fries are burnt. And you're like, that's nice. How was your day? Because you're like,
the Lord didn't want us having French fries.
We are not here for the French fries. much to your surprise.
Right.
Right. Our Lord has a different plan. Right. Instant mashed potatoes for you instead.
Exactly.
Well, it's very funny. But St. Ignatius today was martyred and he was eaten by lions because he was on a mission and his mission was for God. And so here's a piece.
He had focus.
Mm-hmm. So maybe we should share this piece. What do you think? I think it's very well written.
Yeah, yeah. Self-sacrifice, focus.
Yeah. And he says that it was the second reading, I am God's wheat and shall be ground by the teeth of wild animals. I am writing to all the churches to let it be known I will gladly die for God if only you do not stand in my way. I plead with you, show me no untimely kindness. Let me be food for the wild beasts, for they are my way to God. I am God's wheat and shall be ground by their teeth so that I may become Christ's pure bread. Pray to Christ for me that the animals will be the means of making me a sacrificial victim for God. No earthly pleasures, no kingdoms of this world can benefit me in any way. I prefer death in Jesus Christ to power over the farthest limits of the earth. He who died in place of us is the object of my quest, the one object of my quest. He who rose for our sake is my one desire. The time for my birth is close at hand. Forgive me, my brothers. Do not stand in the way of my birth to real life. Do not wish me stillborn. My desire is to belong to God. Do not, then, hand me back to the world. Do not try to tempt me with material things. Let me attain pure light. Only on my arrival there can I be fully a human being.
That's amazing.
He really understood his mission.
Yeah.
Right?
He was self-sacrifice. And he didn't want anything to get in the way of his mission, to your point. And he said, please don't stand in the way. And he actually asked them to pray for him that he would be food for the lions. Pray that he would be crushed under the...
Right.
I mean, it mimics the Last Supper when our Lord was sacrificing himself and offering the sacrifice of his body, blood, soul, and divinity.
Right.
For the sake of the whole body of Christ.
Right. And just offering it up for the others, because obviously also to be Catholic back in those days was a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So a crime punishable by the Romans by death. And I guess they picked the death. I mean, when we talk about today, James and John, James was beheaded by the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was killed what they call by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they had a whole laundry list of things they could choose from. Like, what do you want to use today, oh Herod?
Yeah.
Today we shall use the sword. Tomorrow
And they went willingly to their death.
They did.
And that's That's a tough pill to swallow, and that's something you would really have to prepare your heart for and prepare your mind for, and that's what Christ was doing in this gospel. He was setting the stage for them. He was preparing their hearts and their minds and redirecting them from the thought of the leadership they understood, how they understood it and how they knew it, to a self-sacrifice, self-giving, self-love.
Right. It wasn't about them. It was about a bigger calling,
mm-hmm.
right? Very much like, obviously, Christ dying for us, or like St. Ignatius of Antioch dying, you know, for
yeah.
Christ, and all the other martyrs that also died for Christ because they saw and felt it. And very much like the dining room table, right? You die to yourself because you don't feel like it or you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
But you're looking at it as a self-sacrifice in an everyday sense
mm-hmm.
to that bigger picture or that mm-hmm. bigger sense of mission where you do it for God.
Mm-hmm.
Like another famous one is Little Flower.
Yes.
Right? She's the month of October.
Mm-hmm. They have some great saints in this month of October.
They do.
And it's dedicated to Our Lady and the Rosary October. And she's the prime example, too, of self-sacrifice.
Right.
And she understood her role.
And humility.
And humility.
Let's just have a moment for
humility.
Profound
humility.
Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't say boo. She had mm-hmm. all that knowledge and just kept her mouth quiet.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was able to love through all that suffering.
I know.
And she was very self-sacrificial. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it always goes back to kind of, you know, why are we here? And what do we want to do? And we do it for out of our love and service to God.
Mm-hmm.
And just get out of our way. Sometimes we get in our own way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Saying,
even in St. Antioch's prayer, he says, don't get in my way.
Right, that's
he was,
true.
He was focused. He was determined. He had great determination in that mission.
He did.
And if we all went out every day with that same sense of mission and purpose and Christ-centric thinking, your everyday, even just waking up and getting out of bed in the morning might be a little more cheerful. Because I know there are some days where I'd like to hit the snooze button about 19 times. I know after that golf outing, I wanted to hit that snooze button.
Aww.
I was tired after golf. That's a really lame admission. I was like, I am so out of shape that golf exhausted me. But we had so much fun.
We did have so much fun.
Yeah.
That was a great golf outing.
That was
outing.
A great golf
so
outing.
Much fun.
It is a great day. Everyone comes together to support Kathleen's mission, right?
Yeah.
She said, here I am, Lord. And that's what we were all saying. Here I am, Lord.
We have come
to do your will.
We have come to chase the little white ball.
Exactly.
And lost them we did.
Oh,
many
yes.
a ball.
Many ball. Yes.
Maybe like eight, but who's counting?
I for one, enjoyed our nicknames, which were Amy and Sandy. Because Amy over here was aiming.
Yes. That and whole then, sense of direction.
Yes, and Sandy enjoyed the sand traps.
Exactly.
Although I became Amy by the
yes,
end of the day, and she became Sandy, so
yes.
we had a good laugh.
Yes.
We had some good laughs
yes.
on the golf
you and
course.
The trees were one.
Yes,
Martin
yes.
was bonding with nature towards the end.
It was fabulous.
It was fabulous. So thank you, Kathleen.
Mary said, here, Marta, why don't you play with my bright pink ball? And it became my lucky
yeah,
pink
that
golf
was your
ball
lucky pink
because
golf
it was
ball.
Easier to find in the trees, you
yes.
say.
Yes.
One can find a pink ball in the trees.
This is true. This is true. So one quick story, it's like a side note, is that my husband Zach was playing with some of the priests. And they were close to finishing, but they came to a hole. And they probably had three holes left. And they all shanked their drives. And the furthest drive was not far. So Zach said, okay, we're going to have to like call in the big gun. We got to call on the Blessed Mother to help us out. And so they all got together and Zach said, okay, Blessed Mother, you need to help us and give us a good shot. And then one of the priests chimed in and said, no, 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 not just a good shot, a long shot. And they said, okay, Blessed Mother, these are your servants. You need to give us a long shot. And so they each took their shot and they said, each one of them hit the longest shot they had all day. And they turned around and looked at each other and said, Why didn't we call on her sooner?
Exactly. Exactly.
So
the Holy Spirit has a sense of humor too.
Yes.
So there's the serious side of the Holy Spirit and the self-sacrificial side, and then he lets you go out and play a little golf and have a little fun.
Right.
And let your hair down for a minute.
Yes.
And blow off some steam.
And you learn humility on the golf course
as
well.
You absolutely learn humility on the golf course. There's no question about it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes. And speaking of Zach, for the second half hour today, Zach DiCarlo will be joining us, and he's going to share Mother Cabrini's mission with us and how we're going to further that mission through the parishes throughout the country, throughout the United States, and actually worldwide.
And
you want to expand on that?
And just that she, again, was a saint,
mm-hmm.
that although she had tremendous hurdles, she just kept looking at her bigger mission, you mm-hmm. know, which was to serve God and help those that couldn't help themselves.
Yeah, she had an amazing
and,
story.
And, you know, built the orphanages from ground up with literally nothing and just always looking not if she was going to do it, but how was she going to do it? Because it was a very strong picture in her head. And I feel mm-hmm. like that's the other thing. When you talk about humility and you talk about servant leadership, it's what do I want and need to do to serve God? Like I always think so that when I meet him, I can say to him, you know, or he can say
to
me,
you.
Job mm-hmm. well done, my faithful and loyal servant.
Mm-hmm.
Like Peg always said to me, when I go to heaven and God asks me, what did I do for him? I'm going to tell him I was very good at marketing. Because she was always promoting the Eucharist
mm-hmm.
and holy hours
mm-hmm.
and prayer power. And so I believe that. I believe when the Lord looked at her and said, what did you do? I believe with all my heart, she said, I was a good marketer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit there. I loved Kathleen's example that she shared, I think it was just this past Tuesday, where her daughter had asked God or asked Jesus to explain the Holy Spirit. And he said, God is the head, Jesus is the body, and the arms and legs are the Holy Spirit. They do all the work. I brought that into my golf game, by the way. I kept saying the Holy Trinity will be playing golf for me
yes,
today.
God that
was will be
good.
My head, Jesus will be my body, and the Holy Spirit will be my arms and legs. But sometimes just remembering it's really the Holy Spirit that's doing the doing. It's the Holy Spirit that's moving in you, through you, with you. And it's not really our own actions. In and of ourselves, we're nothing and we can accomplish nothing. It's really, we opened with the Holy Spirit. And I think St. Ignatius of Antioch clearly relied on the Holy Spirit and had the Holy Spirit within him. Because you can't reach that level of thinking or reach that, I don't even know if your heart can be open to that kind of thinking unless you're really guided by the Holy Spirit.
And we can't, the minute we start thinking we can do it on our own and that it's all us,
that's
our first sign of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything we have is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit's the doer.
And the Holy Spirit is the doer.
Mm-hmm.
Even Fulton Sheen, when he talks about humility, he has a book called Life is Worth Living,
mm-hmm.
and we love it because he has such great wisdom. I don't know if any of you have ever listened to him, but I find him to be so interesting, and he was really visionary in a way because
mm-hmm.
the things he talks about that were filmed in the 60s
mm-hmm.
really are so true today, and he talks about becoming little, you know, you know, he just says, in order to discover truth, goodness, and justice in God, one must be very humble, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be teachable. He who thinks he knows it all is unteachable, right?
Yep.
And so he says, humility is the virtue that tells us the truth about ourselves, how we stand, not in the eyes of men, but before God. A tall person is not humble if when complimented on his height, he says, oh, no, really, I'm only 6'3". A great singer is not humble when they say, my collateral notes are abominable. They are humble if they say, thanks, I owe it all to God. So
and on that note,
we owe it all to God.
We owe it all to God, and we're going to take our first break.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back. Welcome back. And we have with us for the second half hour, Zach DiCarlo.
Hello. Good afternoon, Marta.
Mary's husband,
Mary.
Zach.
Hello.
Good brother-in-law. We just shared your golf story, Zach.
You did.
Yes,
we did. The Blessed Mother.
The Blessed Mother, where you're playing with the
Our Lady of the Long Ball.
Yes. Yes.
Only to be retorted by Father, and I won't use his last name, Our Lady of the Really Straight Long Shot.
She has many titles.
Yes.
Right?
And she showed up.
Our Blessed Mother wears many hats.
It was my idea to invite her. I said, Fathers, we haven't called on her all day, and we really need her. We have to invite the Blessed Mother to this golf tournament.
That's right. That's right. And she showed up.
She showed up. Loyal as she is.
That's right. She loves her sons.
Yes, she does.
Yes. So, Zach, you're going to share with us a little bit about the Mother Cabrini mission?
Yeah, I'd love to. I would hope that our viewers today and those that had watched at other times have seen this amazing movie, Cabrini, which we have been on this journey and brought this movie out to the public in the spring of this year. And the movie now is available on various platforms for purchase or rent. And I'll go through this in a little bit, but it's an amazing film. And for those of you that saw it, I'm sure you would agree that it really has the power to, number one, help you understand who this amazing entrepreneurial woman was, this audacious, tenacious woman who wouldn't let the word no stand in her way of doing what was right for the less fortunate, for the loss, the folks' loss of dignity, for the youth, the immigrant, and all in the name of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And many folks don't know this amazing story. But again, we brought this movie also to hopefully help others see what the power of help can do and impact lives. And so we're hoping and praying to Mother Cabrini and to others, the Blessed Mother and others, to help have folks become more active in their church, more active in service. Perhaps it'll help folks discern vocations. And when I say vocations, it means not just a vocation to holy orders or to the religious life, but it could be a vocation of teaching or a vocation of nursing. So all those and many others. So I think what I want to talk a little bit today, and I thank you ladies for inviting me to do this. I want to talk about our latest mission, which we say is 100 million people. We want 100 million people to see this film worldwide, and we're on our way. And by the way, you can find out all this information on our website, which is partnerwithcabrinifilm.org, partnerwithcabrinifilm.org. We ask if you've seen the movie, please go to our website and click on the I'm One in 100 Million submit your name to us so that we can count you in that 100 million. If you haven't seen our movie, go ahead and click on the I'd Like to Become One in 100 Million, again, with partner with CabriniFilm.org. I'd like to read to you, we received a beautifully written letter that is to be published here shortly in a number of newspapers around the United States. And this is from I would call her a very successful filmmaker and author. She's authored over 11 books. She's a New York Times bestseller. Her name is Adriana Trigiani. And she wrote this beautiful letter, an article for us. And I just want to read a few moments of that, if you will. So let me bring it up here. Adriana says, as a Roman Catholic who grew up in Appalachia, where we were less than 1% of the population, movies with themes of sainthood, resilience, and faith were rare. Some of you will remember Song of Bernadette, but most Catholics go to The Sound of Music. Replete with nuns, the Abbey, fabulous musical numbers, and the moral imperative to stand against the Nazis. When I saw Cabrini, a sumptuous, glorious film about the life of Mother Cabrini and her early days in New York, I was deeply moved by it. Directed by Alejandro Monteverdi and starring a brilliant cast led by Christiana Dalana in a tour de force performance, I hope every family will gather their children and take them to see this movie. You don't have to be Italian to appreciate this story, nor do you have to be Catholic to embrace its intent. You simply have to be a person who knows the world can be a better place when we pull together and do the hard work to change our lives for the better. Mother Francesca Cabrini arrived in the United States in 1889 from Italy with nothing more than hope. She was a hard-working nun in Italy, a teacher who served the poor and ran an orphanage. She was aware in the first migration of Italians to America that it was the poor Italians, the laborers, who left Italy to find work to provide for their families. She learned of their terrible circumstances here, the Italians would face in America, and that the Italians were trading one impoverished state for another. She learned of the slums where they would live and decide to leave their home to help the immigrants build new lives. Her dream was to rescue and elevate the immigrant through faith, education, health care, and community. It goes on to say, Christiana Dalana, portrayal of Mother Cabrini is a wonder in itself. Strong, feisty, and direct, Mother Cabrini could not fail as she overcame obstacle after obstacle. She let her deep faith shore up her soul and strengthen her frail body. I'm reading this because we are in our new mission of 100 million eyes, taking this film to both schools across the United States in dioceses everywhere. We're working on that now. Here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, well into the almost 20,000 archdiocesan and private Catholic schools, sent their students back in the spring to an event watching this film at various theaters across the Archdiocese from 7th grade through 12th grade. It was a monumental event, a bonding event between students and faculty. And we're going to scale that across the United States. And right now we're working with a number of large dioceses all across the country, all the way out to the left coast. The other mission that we're working on right now is a Cabrini night, a family night. Much like the night that we have heard about in the last number of years, a night out where we honor our men and women in blue, this is a night in. And what we're hoping is that at the parish level, we institute a Cabrini night, a family night, where a family can choose to rent or buy the film, bring in their family and friends, talk about the film. And then back at the parish level, the parish would host a gathering where those families that did that could come together and talk about the impact of the film, the impact that the film had on that family and that group, and how it could help them in the future. And again, hoping that it brings lives together and it brings back an idea of more service to the parish, And with God's grace, perhaps we fill pews. So at the parish level, we're working to do that again across the United States. Right now, there are 189 dioceses in the United States. There are over 17,000 parishes. And this is the kind of film that really feeds the soul. And so we need this film today. You ladies know that we believe that God wanted this film to be made now. Back in the 1950s, Sophia Loren wanted to make this film and never got it made. In 1973, Martin Scorsese and Loretta Young were going to make this film and never got it made. And we do believe that God has chosen this time for your father, Eustace Wolfington, to make this movie and to get this movie out there. This is a story of immigrants, as she is the patron saint of immigrants worldwide. It's a story of education. It's a story of health care. It's a story of love. It's a story of bringing dignity to those that have had their dignity stripped of them. And so I think, again, for this audience, and I'm hoping most of you have seen it, you most likely agree with me that it's a very powerful film. I know that many, many folks, and right now we're over the 3 million mark, many folks who have seen this movie have seen it multiple times. And so if you haven't seen it multiple times, go out and see it again.
But, That's right.
Ladies, any questions or thoughts or comments?
This is a great mission. Thank you for sharing it with us, and thank you for sharing it with the viewing audience. And we were just talking about mission. That was a big part of our first half hour.
Okay.
And how if you can stay Christ-centered, stay on your mission, make sure your mission is always Christ-centered, because that's how you're going to see success. And that's the essence of every mission, has to stay Christ-centered. And this is certainly a Christ-centered mission. She certainly said the world was too small for what she intended to accomplish. It is so relevant to today's needs. The students need direction. We were saying in today's gospel, our Lord redirected the thinking of the sons of Zebedee, James and John. They went to him, mm-hmm. and they were asking to be seated at his right and his left. They wanted those seats of glory. And he said he had to redirect them a little bit and say, hey, fellas, let me tell you what your real mission is, not to sit at my right and my left, but it's to serve, and it's self-sacrifice.
Yeah. It's a very, I'm sorry. Yeah. I was going to say that's a wonderful point. You know, Mother Cabrini took the name Francesca Xavier Cabrini because her idol growing up was Saint Francis Xavier. Mm-hmm. And so she wanted to go off to China to bring Christianity and Catholicism to China. Mm-hmm. And when she was called in front of the Holy Father, and she is, by the way, the first woman to ever be given the approval to start an order of religious without a correlating male order, mm-hmm, which in and of itself is amazing. Mm-hmm. But when she went to the Holy Father instructed her, and she did use the words that the world was too small, mm-hmm, for what she intended to do. And he flipped that around and said, well, then I need you to go off to Italy to take, go off to America to take care of the Italians that are suffering. And
right.
He said, if the world is too small, where does it matter where you start? And she couldn't argue with that logic. So she wound up in Manhattan.
Yeah.
But I want to go to one more point, Marta. You talked about the dignity and you talked about redirecting. There's a scene in our film. In fact, we have Christiana looks at the camera three times, only three times. And the first time she does that, you gals remember, it's her first night in the slums in Five Points,
mm-hmm,
and it's a seedy place with a lot of, you know, it's Sodom and Gomorrah, if you will, in the 1890s.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks at the camera and she's talking to her other sisters that she brought with her on the trip, and there were only five of them. And she said, "See everything, because this is who we came to serve."
That's
and
right.
And the poignancy of that is that these were Northern Italian women that were not used to that type of poverty that they were witnessing there in Manhattan, even in Italy, because that poverty existed in southern Italy, which, mm-hmm, is why those folks immigrated, mm-hmm, to the gold-filled streets and the gold-lined streets of the United States, only to find what they found.
Exactly.
So that's a poignant line, and she redirected them to say, this is who we came to serve.
Exactly.
You know, strap in.
Right. Yeah. I don't know what you thought, but this is what it is.
Right. Well, and I feel like she also had great humility because she wasn't worried about, you know, she got that old rustic rundown orphanage and she's like, this is fine, because she really saw it as her starting point and that this is where I'll be able to house children and educate them and give them a place to live. And she went to, it felt like even her whole life was always about serving the needs of others for God, right? And she spent 4 hours a day, they said, praying to the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, always connecting back and realizing her source of strength, which was God. And I feel like that's the other thing, you know, we offer it up, but we do it for a higher calling and a higher purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, very much like he's telling James and John, you know, you are going to be doing all this, but it's, you know, it's a servant leadership role. It's not one of, you know, the golden robes and the lavishness of all the kings that maybe you were used to seeing and hearing about.
Mm-hmm. With her audacity, and I mean that in a good word, right? And her stick-to-itiveness, her perseverance. You know, she never took no for an answer, and she was given no many times by those in power. Mm-hmm. I had the good fortune about 2.5 years ago to be a guest at the Papal Nuncio's residence in Washington, D.C., the embassy, if you will, of Rome. Upon leaving after our meeting, the general counsel, or counsel general, who is the number two, a wonderful Irish Monsignor, said, please come with me. And in the foyer, there was this wonderful book about the size of a Roman missal in mass and about 5 inches thick, and it had been opened up on top of a bookstand. And it was either her typed letters or her handwritten letters that she wrote to the papal nuncio month after month after week after month. And, you know, talking about things like she needed a new sewer pipe installed and the, you know, the town of wherever she was talking about wasn't helping, or she wanted to buy more property. And one other story I'd love to tell, I think it just shows what this woman was about. By the way, we talk about all those things, her attributes. One of those attributes was her amazing intelligence and her business savvy. She had all of her sisters learn how to do contracts.
Yeah.
Last year we were a guest of the USCCB on her feast day, November 13th. And the morning opened up. We had a screening that evening for the bishops. And we had an amazing attendance that evening. But that morning opened up with a prayerful reflection given by the retired Archbishop of Seattle, Archbishop Sartain. And he talked about Mother Cabrini, and he told a story of what how it pertained to Seattle. And I'll try and make this very short, but way back in that period, the Bishop of Seattle had been reached out to by the Bishop of L.A. He wasn't an archbishop at that point. He was just a bishop. And the bishop wanted to buy some property in L.A. for a hospital, and he couldn't get the deal done. And he wrote to his friend up in Seattle and said, there's this woman that you know.
Right.
Can you get her to come to us and help?
Yeah.
And, of course, she got the call, however that would have been in a letter, got on a train, went out to L.A., got the deal done, they closed and they built the hospital. And so that's who this woman was. Yes. Fast forward, we were in Omaha, Nebraska last year doing a screening for an organization of Italian women, and they were very proud of their parish, which was called Mother Cabrini, St. Mother Cabrini, and the parish had been renamed. The parish was an Italian parish in what you could imagine would be sort of the, you know, the lower end of the city at that time in Omaha, Nebraska. But it's the gateway to the West. And wouldn't you know it, that they knew that this train had come through when she was on her way to L.A.
Oh,
and she stopped
amazing.
In Omaha. So it all comes together.
I love that.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So. That's the Holy Spirit doing the work again,
that's
right?
That's right.
What are we doing?
Legs. Moving and grooving. It's like dancing.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
I'm sure we've had a lot of those moments in this movie journey.
Right? Oh,
yes,
my God.
Thank
absolutely.
You, Holy Spirit.
Absolutely, we have.
Yeah. And the Lord's just always looking for our yes. And that's what they said in that gospel today. They said, we can. They probably didn't know what they were saying yes to.
Yes.
I don't think J.E. exactly. I mean, he knew what he was saying yes to, but maybe not to the extent of how this journey has taken him. And that's probably true of these saints and true of our beautiful saint that we talked about, Ignatius of Antioch.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? I think when we all start out on our journeys, we start out saying, yes, we can. And then you get the reality. And you have moments.
You're like, I said what?
Yeah, right?
Wait, what?
Come, Holy Spirit.
Well, I'm sure a number of her sisters said the same thing. You
yeah.
know,
come, Holy Spirit.
You know. Yeah, exactly. Wait a minute. What am I doing here? Yeah. By the way, she did make it to China. And she did open up. She opened 67 institutions here in the United States. And if you look at the math, you know, she was not supposed to live past 5 years old.
Yes.
Yeah,
she
lived that's
until
the other
she was
amazing part.
67 years old. Well, the Holy Spirit and God had a different plan for her.
Yeah,
doing.
Yeah.
But if you do the math, that means she was doing at least two a year.
Yeah.
And that's just incredible for a woman who didn't have fax machines, didn't have phones, didn't have the internet, right? One last story I guess I would tell you is that a young teacher witnessed her canonization in 1946. She was canonized in 1946, and in July. And in August, this teacher resigned from her order. And she wrote to the Vatican and asked to start her own order and wanted to model it on Mother Cabrini, Saint Cabrini. It took about 2 years for that to happen, but the Vatican did approve her order. That woman is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. So,
yes.
And we know about Mother Teresa of Calcutta because she was a saint of the 20th century.
Yes.
Who had the ability to communicate through all those things that mm-hmm. we can communicate with, right?
Yeah.
And so that's just another example of no one knows this woman, Francesca Cabrini, who crossed the ocean, by the way, 23 times.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. 23
times.
And didn't know how to swim.
Exactly.
Yes.
And had drowned.
Talk about trust.
And was brought back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that complicated
And just
her,
kept doing it.
Yep.
Her lungs. So.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's a powerful story, and that's a powerful example.
So
and,
it really goes back to really understanding that we're not an accident. We're all here for a purpose. And we have to really just say yes to God.
Exactly.
Right?
We
and say
can.
Yes to his will. To his
we
will.
Can.
And but when we
can
say yes,
right?
But when we do say yes, we do start to becoming more humble because it's not about us. It's about what we're doing for God.
Exactly.
And so you gain a little courage and you do get a little of that holy boldness that Kathleen talks about.
Exactly.
Because you are serving something bigger
than
yourself.
What was Mother Cabrini's line?
Right?
We are bold or we die.
Or we die.
We are bold or we die. And she told the Holy Father that. And she said to the Holy Father, we are bold or we die. I learned
that
in America.
Exactly, exactly. And if that's not prevalent for these times, I don't know what is.
Exactly.
We're going to have to start being very bold in our faith.
Right.
Well, again, I'll remind your viewers that you know the website is partnerwithcabrinifilm.org, .com, excuse me, partnerwithcabrinifilm.com. And I said earlier, currently the movie is available on Amazon Prime, Apple TV, Fandango at Home, the Dish Network, Verizon Fios, Xfinity, Spectrum, and Cox, all on demand.
Is that it?
And, yeah, that's
I'm
it.
Just kidding.
No YouTube or Google?
No YouTube
or Google. We like the Google. Yes, the Google.
I love the Google. Who doesn't love to Google? As a matter of fact, we Googled the saint of the day today.
Yes, we did.
We relied on
Yes,
Google.
We did.
You got to rely on the Google.
That's right. That's right.
So I feel like if we go about the rest of our week, we should really be thinking about, even in the everyday lives that we have, like our little flower said, I'm just going to do every little thing for the honor and glory of God. You know,
That's right.
We always say, not my will, but thy will. And that we're here really to serve our Lord in the means that we were called to serve.
Yes.
And whether that's making the dinner or saying the prayers quietly, or if for some reason we are infirmed and we're in bed and we can't get out, maybe it's the prayers we offer for the souls in purgatory or in honor of our Blessed Mother for all the lost souls that she's asking us to pray for. Mm-hmm. Like we all have something that we could do that will help us, you know, grow the community and serve God.
Yep.
Right.
We can. We're going to have a we can attitude.
We can have a we can attitude.
Penn
right.
States like, we are.
Right.
This group is we can.
Yeah. Holy boldness, as Kathleen
Holy
says.
Boldness.
Right?
Holy That's boldness.
Holy boldness. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's right. So everyone go out and see that movie. Up next for our next hour, stay tuned, please, and listen to Dr. Anton Raimondo. Sign, Sealed, and Delivered is his program, and he's never disappoints. He's always a beautiful soul and has a lot to share.
Well, thank you, ladies, yes. for this.
Great
thank
wisdom.
Thank you for coming in.
Yes, yeah. thank you for yeah. coming in and
Let's
joining us.
Let's do this
us.
Again. We can talk about the Blessed Mother helping me in my golf shots this weekend.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
That would be great.
We're calling her.
We are call. I was calling the Holy Spirit. God is the head. Jesus is the body. The Holy Spirit is the arm and leg doing all the work for Marta so she could hit that ball. Now, you had the Blessed Mother, but I had the strong.
You had the Holy Trinity.
I had the Holy Trinity.
Right. Oh, she went word. After, yeah, you know, go big or go home.
That's right.
Get the trifecta.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Wow. See how goofy we are, but it's fun. Yes. We always
I hope you're having fun.
We are having fun.
Right. We always have fun.
That's right.
Well, I hope you welcome us back again when we can tell you more about our mission.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. And we and hope that all of you really recognize and appreciate who you are. And realize that every little thing we do for God makes a difference mm-hmm. in the lives of our family and others we touch.
Yep. We are one body.
We are one body.
One body yes. in Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
I know
Amen.
That song.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yep. We have one more minute, kids.
Uh-oh.
One more minute. Two
Wait,
more minutes.
Two more minutes. So in the movie business and the TV, they go, Phil. Phil. Okay, so I'll tell you another story, a true story, and that is that your father made Francesca Cabrini our executive producer, and the power that had on our set, and I've been told this by multiple members of the cast and multiple members of the crew and the unions, was unbelievable when they realized that's a big deal in the business. Mm-hmm. And that just doesn't happen. People just don't give out that title, mm-hmm. you know. And so he did. He made her executive producer. And they all were just sort of – he likes to say it was like being at a Notre Dame pep rally. You know?
Yeah.
You have to be a Notre Dame fan to like that. So I would say Roll Tide.
Or we are.
Yeah, we are. So, anyway.
Well, that, again, goes back to show you the reason it was so powerful was because it took the authority – off the people and put the authority back to God and mm-hmm. put it where it belonged, which mm-hmm. was in the hands of our Lord. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, a lot of small little, as you call them, Cabrini winks,
we call them Cabrini
happened
winks.
Throughout the filming
dozens
of that because
dozens.
It because our Lord and Cabrini were watching over you. And it wasn't a one person thing. It was a God thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's
yeah.
why the camaraderie was there and the love and the unity yeah. that came from it, because it was an unselfish project mm-hmm. that everybody was contributing.
Christ,
you know, we've had cast members like David Morse, who is now a Philadelphia resident, who played our Archbishop Corydon, and he's a beautiful guy, by the way. He talks about the fact that it was moving to him. Bringing this character to life and working inside the story that Rod Barr wrote. And he said that, you know, he's had a fairly good career being a villain. And it was really fun
right.
to not be the villain, even though he starts out a little bit
tough, exactly.
right, in this
exactly.
one. Well, I wouldn't say he's a villain. I'd say he's tough.
Right.
But, you know, like she did with so many, including the Holy Father, she softened him up, didn't
That's
she?
That's right. She redirected his thinking.
She redirected
just like our
him.
Lord yeah. redirected.
Look at that. I'm tying right to the gospel, and we're going to come
I know.
Together.
Just remember, we can with the Holy
right.
Spirit.
We can with the
Lord
Holy
will
Spirit.
Redirect.
Ciao.
That's right.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us.